Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
How can you not laugh? It's funny. It's it's just part of the U.S. Open. It's just funny, and I don't mean it disrespectful. So I hope nobody's, if you're taking it that way, look, I'm sorry. That's not the way it's meant. I just wanted to get to the next hole, and I didn't see that happening at the time without the two shots.
Mullet at Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Phil Mickelson, and let's get out to Mark Rolfing, golf analyst, the Golf Channel, NBC Sports, and always a joy to talk to Mark. And boy, that Phil thing really is a big deal, isn't it, Mark? A lot of people very upset, and a lot of people believe he should have pulled out of it. A lot of people think his explanation was the bigger violation maybe than what he did, because if it wasn't in the moment, he claimed he had considered it, thought it through, and was willing to do it.
Well, first of all, good morning, guys. I don't think it was that funny, all in all, to be honest with you. And I agree on the whole explanation thing. I can't imagine that was going through his mind when he had the reaction and ran down the green, to putt that moving ball. I am of the opinion he should not have had a tee time at Shinnecock. He should have been disqualified. I thought that the USGA was hiding under Rule 14-5, which says, and they claimed they had to apply that rule, which was he didn't deflect the ball, he didn't stop it, he actually made a stroke at a moving ball, which is a two-stroke penalty only. But there is a clause in the rule book for a serious breach of the rules, which is a disqualification. And I just felt, and I'm a huge Phil Mickelson fan, I love what he's done for the game, but I really thought that was a serious breach and he shouldn't have been playing yesterday.
And Mark, when I was watching it in real time, at first I laughed because that'd be something I would do. I get frustrated. I just want to pick up the ball and move on. But I'm not Phil Mickelson. I'm not on the U.S. Open stage. And the idea of respecting the game, I guess as surprised as I was about his explanation, to hear Ricky Fowler say it was no big deal and it's like playing an unplayable, or to see Andrew Johnston just laugh and say, well, I've never seen it before. But it didn't seem like his peers are all really bent out of shape about it. Maybe it's a generational thing, because a lot of the older analysts certainly had an issue with it, and I think a lot of people of my generation had an issue with it.
Yeah, I think so. It's typically the older guys, the more veteran players that did have an issue with it. But I think if you look at this U.S. Open in general, my biggest problem with it all is we are struggling right now to grow the game of golf and to create more participation. And for all of the fans that were watching, and a lot of them were, the ratings were really good. There was a marginal golf interest level fan that was interested in the U.S. Open. If we're trying to convince people that golf is fun and that they ought to take up the game of golf, a lot of what happened this week to me would not have convinced people of that. I just think in a lot of ways it was not a good week for the game of golf in general.
And I agree with that assessment. As far as the Mickelson thing is concerned, it just seems like there's such I don't know how to describe it, but the reaction was so polarizing. It was almost, our political situation in this country. Some people were, hey, take it easy, golf's crazy. And then people that know the game were just kind of like, hey, you have rules and you follow them for a reason. And it just didn't seem like there was as much of a sort of common ground as you would expect when someone did something like that.
No, part of me, we were really concerned going on the air yesterday. We were on live at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's interesting because Justin Leonard and Trevor Immelman and I were talking about the situation. Phil was putting on the putting green right behind us, and we all felt like he could probably hear what we were saying. A part of me thought that he was going to wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I really shouldn't be playing today, and withdraw. What really surprised me was that after he went out there, played the round, played pretty well, he would not speak to the media after that. So he knew he didn't want to put himself in a situation of talking to the media after the round, which tells me that deep in his heart, he really must have felt like what he did was wrong.
Mark, the USGA, are there lessons that were learned over the weekend, or will they try to make the course every bit as difficult and challenging next year and the years following, or did Saturday's turn of events and the greens make them change their philosophy at all?
I sure hope so. There's a few issues. I don't see why we have to take the U.S. Open right to the edge. They feel like there's a mandate that that's what has to happen with the U.S. Open course. I don't think that has to be the case. One of the issues that I have is that in today's modern world of golf, where the equipment is so much better, they feel like we have to have the green speeds at, you know, a speed that just aren't conducive to fair and good golf when you go to old courses like Shinnecock. You can have greens like Erin Hills, modern greens, really fast if you want, but you cannot with these older greens that have the severe slopes in the fronts and the backs. They've got to change that philosophy. The other thing is they need to change the rule book. They are changing the rule book. And we're talking about simplifying the rules, but the rest of the world of sports, I feel like, is laughing at us right now with this Mickelson situation. Yeah. And to me, the USGA ought to just say, look what happened to the Mickelson scenario on Saturday. We need to change that rule. The NFL does it. Let's change the rule. It's not a good rule.
Mark, it's so funny because we've been interviewing you now for a few minutes, and we haven't even brought up Brooks Koepka, and that was one of the questions we asked this morning, is what's the bigger story? A guy actually winning back-to-back opens when you're talking about, it hadn't been done since, what, 88, 89? And it's almost like it's buried behind the sportsmanship story and you know, the whether the
course was fair.
Yeah, the course was fair and all this. It's crazy.
It really is crazy. We talked about that yesterday on the air on Golf Channel, and I was saying, before we even had a Brooks Koepka winner, I was saying the same thing happened in 2004. The course and the condition of the course in the final round became a way bigger story, and part of the reason I felt like was because Retief Goosen won that U.S. Open, which was his second, ironically. Had Phil Mickelson won that U.S. Open in 2004, I think it would have dwarfed the story a little bit more about the condition of the course. But here we are talking more about it, and I really hope the USGA learns a lesson and becomes more conservative in what they try to do in setting up these courses. And one of the real problems I have is the average golf fan that isn't the serious golfer does not know the difference between the PGA Tour and the USGA, and certainly fans that aren't golfers don't know the difference. So having one governing body make a mistake, like I believe was made this week, really reflects on all the governing bodies, simply because most people don't know the difference.
Jeez. Mark, thank you, buddy. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Take care.
You
That's
too,
Mark Rolfing, golf analyst for the Golf Channel, of course, NBC Sports.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.